Welcome. It's Sunday, June 5th, 2022, Pentecost Sunday. Our scriptures this week are Genesis 11, 1 through 9, and Acts 2, 1 through 21. The title of our message this week is Beating Babel. So if you would, please open your Bibles and read with me from Genesis 11, starting at verse 1. The Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Sinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Our second reading from Acts 2, starting at verse 1. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pilegra and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. With Memorial Day behind us, celebrating and the remembering of those who have died to free us from oppression, we gather together on this Pentecost Sunday, still struggling with the events that took place at the Tower of Babel. I remember the first time one of my children encountered a person speaking a foreign language. He asked me, "Dad, why does that man talk funny?" Well, I don't remember my response, but I do know that Scripture tells us it all began at the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel that we find in chapter 11 of Genesis was being built because human pride had decided it would make a name for itself and would build a city and a tower that would be a gateway to heaven. God would not allow such presumption, so the speech of the workers was confused. They fell to bickering among themselves and dispersed all over the earth, and never did complete the tower. And that is why, I mean, Germans do not understand French, or Italians do not understand Chinese, and Greeks don't understand English, and nobody understands teenagers. And to this day, we have problems communicating with one another. In international relations, translations often fail to convey proper meanings. I mean, multinational corporations sometimes learn the lesson the hard way. I remember years ago an advertising business that was responsible for the Pepsi-Cola account. They came up with the slogan, "Come alive, you're in the Pepsi's generation." Remember that? Well, I'm told that Pepsi tried to market their product in China using the same slogan. But in Chinese, the meaning came out as, "Ha ha, Pepsi brings your ancestors back from the dead." Not so good a slogan in Chinese. Well, to be sure, communication is tough enough even when folks speak the same language. The same word means different things to different people. Think about this. In our country today, one person talks about justice. It means that everyone should have a fair and equal opportunity for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And no one should expect a free ride at the expense of society, and each one should pull his or her own weight. That is just. But in other things, justice means that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness should be understood to guarantee a home, a job, and medical care for everyone, regardless of any other considerations. And we should all chip in to make sure that no one falls through the cracks. Same word. Justice. Vastly different meanings. Well, then there are times misunderstandings are accidental. I mean, consider this story. A little old lady was planning a vacation, wrote a letter to a particular campground to inquire about its facilities. She couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet, so she finally settled on the term BC, which to her meant bathroom commode. Well, the initials, they baffled the campground manager, who showed the letter to some of the other campers. Well, they didn't understand either until one of them suggested the woman might be referring to a Baptist church. Well, the owner agreed, and he wrote this reply. "Dear Madam, thank you for your inquiry. I take pleasure in informing you that a BC is located 2 miles north of our campground and seats 250 people. My wife and I go quite regularly, but as we grow older, it seems to be more of an effort, particularly during cold spells. And if you visit our campground, perhaps we could go with you the first time, sit with you, and introduce you to the other folks. Ours is a friendly community. Sincerely yours." Mistaken impressions notwithstanding. Most of us know that some of what we hear and don't hear is quite deliberate. I mean, any wife who has ever asked a husband to mow the lawn or fix the toilet during the telecast of their favorite sporting event could say amen to that. You know, it's the Tower of Babel 21st century style. Unfortunately, the problem is just as bad in the church. There are communication gaps all over the place, gaps between denominations, gaps between the pulpit and the pew, gaps between young and old, gaps between rich and poor, gaps between liberals and conservatives. And if anyone wonders why in almost 2,000 years we have not won the world for Jesus Christ, the answer is that we have not communicated the good news of the gospel with much effectiveness at all. And the shame of it is that there was once a day when the divisions of Babel were mended. The writer of Acts tells us when the day of Pentecost came in Acts 2:1, it was not unlike our Memorial Day, remembering and celebrating freedom from oppression. For Pentecost is one of the three great holidays of the Jewish year, and thousands of faithful had gathered in Jerusalem from all over the known world to celebrate Passover. But he tells us the disciples were there as well. They had been praying together for 10 solid days and now experienced an almost unbelievable miracle, a miraculous religious experience. So when those gathered outside that upstairs room heard the sound of a violent wind and the disciples emerged, a crowd gathered together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language and causing quite a commotion. Some thought it was just a drunken party, but others listened more carefully to what was going on. That day, miraculously, each one hearing understood, and they asked one another, "What does this mean?" It made no difference what their native tongue might have been. As they listened, they heard the story of what God had done in that group and was prepared to do in all who believed. The ancient divisions at the Tower of Babel had been healed. The result, Scripture says that 3,000 people responded to the invitation of Peter that day to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a great day. So one wonders why there have not been more days like that. After all, the Holy Spirit who imparted such power on that ragtag band did not suddenly vanish. Christians continue to believe that the Spirit empowers the church. We believe that the Spirit is with us now, ready to warm cold hearts, soften sick necks, penetrate thick skulls, and heal the divisions of Babel. So what has gone wrong? If we consider that brief scene described in the beginning of the book of Acts, several things jump out at us that are different today than they were back then. First, the church no longer prays and waits for God's leading like it did. The instructions given to the disciples at Jesus' ascension were to wait in Jerusalem for divine direction, divine power. And they did. For 10 days they waited and prayed. When was the last time you heard of a 10-day prayer meeting or even a 10-hour prayer meeting? In our society, that demands instant food, instant coffee, instant banking, instant success, instant everything. Prayerful waiting no longer seems to be a priority. Well, second, the church no longer cares as much about being all together in one place as it did. If that day of Pentecost were transplanted to our day, more than half would probably have been absent. I mean, Peter would have been with his wife and have been at their cottage in the mountains or Bartholomew. He would have had guests in from out of town for a members' guest tournament at a club. And would not be there. Philip and his family, they would have been up late the night before and overslept, or Andrew would have had his business conference about a new fishing boat, and James would have had to stay home to cut the grass. Togetherness is not considered as important in the church as it once was. And third, the message of the church these days seems less about the mighty acts of God and about social justice, or abortion, or sexuality, or any number of other things. Compounding the problem is the fact that the church speaks with more than one voice on the questions. And people on the outside, they don't know what or whom to believe. Those issues are all important, but the result is that our message has been skewed. I mean, prayerful waiting, communicating with God, fellowship, communicating with each other, God's will in our lives, and communicating with the world the message of salvation are the necessities to beating Babel. We don't seem to be doing a very good job of any of them. Babel is prevalent. Now our human pride is still deciding to make a name for itself. That Pentecost day, God provided for us the power to be beating Babel. And the miracle of Pentecost was not simply the coming of the Holy Spirit. Scripture makes clear that the Spirit wasn't active in all human affairs from the beginning of time. The real miracle was that the divisions of Babel were overcome. I mean, real communication took place, and the result was an exponential growth of the church. Yes, Pentecost can beat Babel once more. So why not here? And why not now? It's the will of God for us to be beating Babel. In His service, this has been Pastor Joe.